A burglar broke into a bar late one night, and as he was going through the cash register, he heard a voice say, "Jesus is watching you." He looked around and didn't see anyone, so he continued taking money out of the cash register. But again, he heard the voice say, "Jesus is watching you." So he got his flashlight out and pointed it around the bar and noticed that it was a parrot that was speaking to him. So he walked over to the parrot, shined the flashlight in his face and said, "What's your name?" And the parrot said, "John the Baptist." And the burglar said, "What kind of owner would name his parrot John the Baptist?" And the parrot said, "The same one that named his Rottweiler Jesus." So in today's gospel, we have the end of John the Baptist's public ministry and the beginning of the Lord's public ministry. John was arrested by Herod, and John was put in prison. John had been preaching for a couple of years, preparing the way for Christ. As you know, John was the last of the Old Testament prophets and the first of the New Testament. He was the bridge between the Old and New Testament. John was the best man. Jesus was the bridegroom. John's job was to prepare the way for the Lord. And now that John had been arrested, the Lord knew that his own public mission would now begin. So it says that after John had been arrested, Jesus, it says, left Nazareth and went to live in a new place. The Lord had lived in Nazareth for about 30 years in a hidden life as a carpenter, the foster son of Saint Joseph, who was a carpenter. And he lived a very hidden life. But now that John was arrested, the Lord began his public ministry, and he moved to a place called Capernaum, which is on the Sea of Galilee. And if you go there today to Capernaum, you can still see the ancient ruins of the synagogue, still some of the pillars still standing. You can see the church built over St. Peter's house in Capernaum. And so the Lord would then move to Capernaum, really for a few reasons. One was to get out of the reach of Herod, because this was no longer in Herod's territory. And then also to fulfill the prophet Isaiah. We have the account today from St. Matthew's Gospel. And Matthew's Gospel is, again, the link between the Old and New Testament. It's always listed first, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's listed first because it shows the connection between the Old and New Testament. Matthew's Gospel has over 100 quotes and references from the Old Testament, showing that Jesus is the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah of the Jewish people. And so Matthew tells us today that the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, was a place in darkness, but now a light has arisen. Jesus is the light of the world. So the Lord moved to this area again to fulfill the prophecy that the people who sat in darkness would see a great light. And so really there's three main points I think we can take from today's gospel. First is that Christ is the light of the world. Second, we see Jesus calling people to repentance and calling them to let them know that the kingdom of God has now come. And then third, Jesus will begin to build his kingdom of God by gathering his apostles and establishing his church and calling them to holiness. And so we look first at the first point, that Jesus is the light of the world. The world is in darkness, the darkness of sin, the darkness of unbelief and disbelief. Christ is the Savior. He is the light of the world. And it says that those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. When we think of the world today, today's world really still is a world overshadowed by death. We see in our country and throughout the world still a place where it's a land overshadowed by death. We think of January 22nd, 1973, Roe versus Wade, the legalization of abortion in our country. The tragedy of the killing of the innocent unborn children in millions, over 50 million in the last 30, 40 years. So we live in a land overshadowed by death. What is the solution? It is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We see a land overshadowed by death and terrorism, whether it be global or local terrorism on our streets with violence. Sometimes you see domestic violence, and we live in a world that still needs the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Yes, it says our land is overshadowed by death, and yet Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the remedy for all the ills and all the evils of society. He's the one that wants to bring us peace, that wants to bring us hope, that wants to bring us light, because he is the light of the world. And what is the first thing the Lord did when he began to preach publicly? He said the same message as John the Baptist: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's always the beginning of growing closer to God, is we have to repent. We need to be sorry for our sins, go to confession, and then get our life back on track. Turn away from sin and turn towards God. If you want to become a saint, what's the first step? Repent of your sins, go to confession, and then begin receiving Jesus in the Eucharist in the state of grace. That is the beginnings of the spiritual life. So the first words out of the Lord's mouth were, repent, for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. The Catechism says that the kingdom of heaven refers to three things. Yes, it refers to the beatific vision of seeing God face to face in heaven. It also refers to the kingdom of God in our souls, which is sanctifying grace. And then it refers to the kingdom of God on earth, which is the church. So the Lord says the kingdom of God is now being established. And then the Lord begins to build his kingdom of God on earth, which is the church, by gathering his apostles. And he chooses some unlikely candidates. He doesn't pick any scribes or members of the Sanhedrin or religious leaders. He goes to the lakeshore and he chooses two sets of brothers: Simon, who would become St. Peter, the first pope, and his brother Andrew. And then another set of brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And he says to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. So instead of catching fish, you'll now catch souls for the kingdom of God. And these were ordinary fishermen, not well-educated, and yet they gave the Lord a yes. They said yes to God. As Mother Teresa says, that God doesn't really want our ability, he wants our availability. He wants us to say yes. He wants us to be willing to be used by him for his plan. So he says, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. You will now be bringing souls to the kingdom of God. And notice their response. It says immediately, they left their boats, they left their relatives, they left their professions, and they followed the Lord. Notice they followed the Lord with generosity. They followed the Lord with immediacy. They followed the Lord with sacrifice, with detachment. All these things are necessary for a vocation, sacrifice. And of course, there are many vocations in this world, and the Lord calls us to different vocations. Some are called to the priesthood or religious life, others are called to the married life, others are called to the single life in the world. But all the vocations ultimately have one calling, and that is to become a saint, to get to heaven, to become holy. That is the universal vocation. Whether we're called to religious life, married life, or single life, we are ultimately called to become saints. And the same qualities of those apostles we should try to emulate and imitate in our own life. Generosity, being willing to sacrifice, to give up attachments to certain things, and to follow Christ immediately, and to say yes to the Lord. Not to put off a vocation, but to say yes and respond generously with a yes to the Lord. So really, I would say that those are the three things we could take from St. Matthew's Gospel today. That Christ is the light of the world. Our world is in darkness still. It's overshadowed by death. So I encourage you, of course, to do what we can to spread the light of Christ in the world by going to the March for Life this coming Friday. Or if you can't go, then pray for the conversion of our country. pray for the respect for the sanctity of all human life from the moment of conception till natural death, and to try to bring the light of Christ to the world. And then, number two, listen to the Lord's call for repentance as He builds His kingdom of God. Go to confession, whether it's been 5 years, 10 years, or 50 years. Go to confession. That is the first step in the spiritual life. And then continue to grow in your faith. And then lastly, respond generously to the call of Christ. No matter what vocation He gives you, respond as the apostles responded, with sacrifice and detachment and generosity to become the saint that God wants all of us to be.